new series. If you were here last week, then you're kind of aware of this already, but we're talking about living life on purpose in all different kind of areas of our lives. And so today, as we talk about living on purpose, I want to talk about work. How do we live purposefully on our job? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes Monday morning, right, the alarm bell rings, you drag yourself out of bed, you're dreading the inbox, you're dreading the meetings, the customers, the chaos, the grind of it all. I don't know about you, does that sound familiar? And so we often think of work as something that we have to do just to survive, right? We survive it just for the weekend. But see, work is more than a paycheck, or at least it should be. It's more than a rat race, or at least it should be. What if it's a God-given calling to each of you? Today, I want to explore what the Bible says about work. Not just church work, but your work. Wherever God has placed you. So if you feel like you've been drifting in your work life, today I want to get you back on track and driving toward that which God has created you for. So let's pray, and we'll jump into today's message. God, our Father in heaven, we do thank you that you have created us for works, that you have created work, that you provide for us the opportunity to do so. So God, as we look at work as a whole, we ask that you would move us from drifting to driven, that we would refocus what living on purpose, even in our work, means. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So if you're a note taker, or if you're not a note taker, this is the first point that I want to cover with you, which is the theology of work. What is work? What does it mean? What's it there for, right? Because you might think of work as just, again, something that you have to do, but I hope that after today you'll think about work as something you get to do, right? And so let's start with the first part of this, which is we need to understand that work was created by God. Many of you think maybe work was created by Satan, but you'd be wrong. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, 15, you will see, it's not going to be on the screen, you're just going to either have to trust me or do your own research here, but in Genesis 2, 15, it says, "The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it." And believe it or not, that's before the fall. And so it might come as a shock to some of you, or maybe most of you, but work was created for our good and for our pleasure and to honor and glorify God. So we need to understand that work is part of paradise, not part of punishment. We need to understand that work is for a purpose, not just for penance. In fact, working is part of the reflection of God's image bearers. Because God is always working. Think about the work that God is doing behind the scenes. I can tell you today that I'm not always sure about why God is doing and allowing the things that he's doing, but I am sure that God is working, and I'm sure that God is working all things out for good for those who love him, even if it doesn't feel like it at the time. And by the way, a creative God gives us work for our creative outlet. And you may think, man, all I do is answer phones all day. How is that a creative outlet? Because here's the thing, you are the only you that exists. And each call that you receive gives you an opportunity to be a light to someone who may not have that experience outside of you. Or maybe you think, all I do is change diapers every day. Well, God bless you, because I'm here to tell you that's a job that you have to be called to as well. John 5:17 tells us, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.'" And so we need to understand that as image bearers, working is not only created by God, but it's for our good. It's to make us more like God. Jesus. It's an illustration in a way that we are the image bearers of God. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so as we move on to the next subpoint here, I just want you to understand that while working began as a good gift given from God and as a purpose for his people, something went wrong. And now maybe this is more what you can relate to, and I'm sorry for that, but work has been corrupted by sin. And what that means is that sometimes in the workplace, even there's disagreements. Sometimes the work is hard and drudgery. Sometimes we feel as if the work is stalling out or going nowhere, or even sometimes going backwards. But we can trust God. In Genesis 3:17 through 19, this is where we see this happen. And he said to Adam, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, so let that be a lesson to all of us. I'm just kidding, right? But because you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to, which is really what's going on there. So men, this is not a reason for you to point to Scripture and say, see, I don't have to listen to you. No, you listen to God, okay? And so here's the thing. Because you have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And so I'd be lying to you, or I'd be deceiving you if I said, you know, work's not hard, just enjoy it. No. The fact is that work can be hard. Work can be something that is difficult to enjoy, because that's the brokenness of creation. Even church work can be hard to enjoy. Even church work can sometimes be broken, because I'm a sinner, and so are you. And by the way, so is your boss. Maybe that's easier for you to understand. Yeah, I would agree my boss is, but here's the thing. But so are you. And so we have to understand the whole plank and speck rule as a whole too, right? We have been given grace. Should we not also give grace? We have been given forgiveness. Should we not also give forgiveness? Even in the workplace? Yeah. Even in the workplace. And so the brokenness of creation is reflected in our work, and I wish it wasn't that way. The good news is one day it won't be that way. I believe it or not, I don't know what you think heaven's going to be, but I think heaven is going to include work. I think the work is just going to be enjoyable all the time. In part because, I mean, think about this. We no longer have a bad boss to work for. We have the best boss to work for, right? And not only that, we have no deadlines because we have eternity. If I don't get it done today, guess what? There's always tomorrow. Not only that, but I will no longer have my sinful anger over my work. That won't be a hindrance to me, nor to you. And so I think all of eternity will be work, but it will be the best work. And it will be varied work. And I think it will be God-glorifying work. But right now, there's thorns and thistles. Right now, there's aging or broken bodies. There's emotional issues. There's relational issues. You see, thorns and thistles come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. It's not just for y'all farmers out here, right? It's for us office workers too. But it's still good. We are commanded to work still. Notice that in the fall there, he's not saying because you've sinned and because this is going to be cursed, you can pick or choose whether you work or not. He's saying you're still going to work. It's just now it's going to be less enjoyable than it was before. Ecclesiastes 2:22 through 24 tells us, what has man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. For this also I saw is from the hand of good. And so we have to remember that as we are created to work because of the corruption of the fall, sometimes our work is difficult, but that does not mean that we are then excused from work. So, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the story, because the sermon or the story could end here. I could say, hey, guess what? God created you for work. Work is bad. Now, go get your work done. Hey, thank you for the uplifting sermon today, Pastor. I couldn't have done it without you. But here's the thing, my friend. This message doesn't end here. Amen? And so I want to share with you the next thing is that all of this is corrected in Christ. Because in him, all of these things are fixed. If not now, then eventually in eternity. Amen? And so Colossians 3:23 through 24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So let me ask you a question. When you punch in on Monday, who are you working for? Because if you're just punching in to work for Bob, then you're missing it. If you're just over at Sheila's, then you're missing it. You see, work is created by God. It was corrupted by the fall, but in Christ, it is corrected. We can understand who we truly work for. We can understand that there is no job too menial, too minuscule, too mundane to not be done to the glory of Christ. So whether you're washing windows or working on Wall Street, you can do that to the glory of God. Jesus gives us purpose in every single task, in every season. We need to remember that Jesus is your boss, no matter what it is that you're doing. Not just here in church, but in your calling. Also understand that your reward, your paycheck, isn't just from, you know, whoever writes the check in HR or accounting, but it's from Christ. He sees. And in fact, I'm going to argue, and I think we can make that case from Scripture, that even He will pay us back things that humans never see. There is a level of work that we can do for the Lord that will never be rewarded in this life, but has an eternal reward and an eternal benefit. And so 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Martin Luther says this, the Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes. You see, it doesn't matter what it is that you're called to. And I'm using that term purposefully. It doesn't matter what you're called to. What matters is who you're doing it for and why you're doing the good job that you're doing. So how should we view our day-to-day work in light of the gospel? Well, it's a great question. I'm glad that you asked that. And so I want to move to our next big point that talks about the wisdom of work. Because remember, who created work? God did, right? No matter what your job is, not just farming, that's not the only job that He created, right? Like, all work that all humans do was created and given to us by God. And so, what's the wisdom in work, you might be wondering? Well, first, work is wonderful. Ecclesiastes 3:12 through 13 says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live, also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. And you might be sitting here thinking this morning, Pastor, you don't know my job. I'm not sure it's a good gift from God. Well, I'm going to tell you your argument isn't with me, it's with the text. God's word says that your job, your career, your calling is a good gift from God. Now, there might be some minor exceptions that we can think of, right? So you might say like, well, what about the lady of the night? That's a job, I guess. Is that honoring to God? Well, absolutely, obviously not. Let's not be ridiculous. But what I'm saying is in normal context, talking to normal folks who have normal jobs, again, whether you're washing windows or whether you're on Wall Street, right? Like anything in that context, your work is wonderful. It is a good gift from God to you, whether you always view it that way or not. Genesis 1:31 says, and God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And that is when He made work. That's when He made us to do the work. And He knew it was good. Proverbs 22:29, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. So the main reason I think work is wonderful is because not only does it bring sanctification to us as we work through our thorns and our thistles, whatever that might be, because God uses that in us, but also it gives us a sense of purpose. It gives us a sense of pride, of things done when they're done well. I know this might sound stupid to you, but I think also you can probably relate. When I know, now my kids are to the age where I don't mow the lawn very much anymore, all right? But there will also be a day where they'll move out and I'll mow the lawn again, right? And if you're anything like me, I don't look forward to mowing the lawn always. You probably don't either, unless you're just into lawn care and that kind of thing, and that's great. But once it's done, I look back at it and I think, man, I'm glad that I have that done. Or when you accomplish several things throughout your day, right? Perhaps you have your 9-to-5 job. Maybe you're retired. Don't worry, that's a different sermon in the series. But perhaps you have your 9-to-5 job, right? And you're done with that. And then you get to go home and you get to work more. Isn't adulting great? But there are things that you put off till your days off that you can accomplish that. And isn't it interesting how we can sometimes say to ourselves, even on a day that's supposed to be a day off, look at all the things I was able to accomplish today. And we're thankful that we're able to get that done. And we have pride that we're able to get that done. And I hope not sinful pride, but a God-glorifying pride, saying, thank you, Lord, for giving me the time and the ability and then the means to be able to accomplish all of this. You know, I just recently built my wife a kitchen cabinet. And I'm happy to say that I had a brother in Christ who was able to help me do that. And I think it turned out real good. I'm proud of that cabinet. And I got to tell you, I was strutting a little bit when I walked in and my wife was looking at the cabinet and looking at it in admiration and not disgust, right? I was proud of myself. I was giving glory to God. God, thank you that you gave me the time and the ability and the friends and the tools and like that we could do this and I could do this for my wife. C.S. Lewis said, "The workman's joy lies in the work itself." Is that true of you? I hope it is, because work is wonderful. Another quote from Tim Keller is, "There is no work so humble that it cannot be made a calling from God." Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, work is more than a function and more than something that you can just find enjoyment or purpose or satisfaction in. Did you know that work can be deeply spiritual? Because work is also worship. We can be like the 7 dwarves and change it a little, and we can worship while we work, right? Like, you can do that during your work day. You should be doing that during your work day. You should be thanking God. Thank you, God, for this. Thank you for this crummy job with a terrible boss who gives me more than I can handle every day, because guess what? Because of it, I get to feed my family. Thank you, God, for providing a means by which I can put food on the table. And by the way, I've been there. I tell my kids that they have no room to ever complain, because there was a time in my life, by God's grace, that I worked, I think it was a brief time, but I'm going to claim it because it happened, where I was working 3 jobs, going to school full-time and still volunteering for the church down in Louisville, and then also doing lawn care maintenance for the property that we lived on when we were down in Louisville. And I'm like, I've got this, you know, like, I don't care. I've lived out one of those we walked barefoot to school during winter and it was uphills both ways kind of situation, and I'm owning it, okay? But work is worship. You can worship God in your work. And it doesn't matter if you're washing windows, if you're working on Wall Street, or if you're leading a kids choir in junior church. Why? Because you're working to Jesus. And even if your job is miserable, you have a Savior who took the cross for you. You have a Savior who can relate to hardship. You have a Savior who can relate to thorns and thistles. That's why Colossians tells us, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I mean, there's always somebody worse, right? It doesn't matter your situation. You could always say, at least I don't have my foot in a bear trap, right? I mean, it could always get worse. So Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. And so worship Him in your work. You have to remember that worship isn't just something we do on Sundays. It's something we should be about the business of doing at all times, in all places. Every honest task done for God's glory becomes an act of worship. There is no distinction between the sacred and the secular. All of life belongs to God. And so not only is it wonderful, not only is it worship, but I hope that you also see that work is a witness as well. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12 says, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. You see, as a Christian, your work should be different because your work is your witness. Now, I understand we fall short. I understand that we at times fail. I understand sometimes we drop the ball. But that does not give us license to quit, to not move forward, to not try again, to not every day, His mercies are new. Claim that and work that out in fear and trembling. Our work is a witness. And so who do you work for? You know, I live with somebody who is a stay-at-home mom. But her work is a witness. I have been in hospitals where my job was transporting patients from x-ray to their room or from their room to CT scans, and that work is a witness. If not to your coworkers, then to those that you serve. If not to your people you serve, then to those who are in authority over you. If not to people in authority over you, just your own family and friends. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We need to understand that people are watching you. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So even, it doesn't matter if it's in the front of your mind or the back of your mind, if you're a Christian and people know that, your work is a witness, either for good or ill. So you might as well purpose your heart for it to be one of good. So I want to turn lastly, as we begin to close here, I want to turn lastly to our focus even more personal. Because we've kind of talked in generalities, right? But how do you know what God is calling you to do? How do you know if you're doing God's work and what He has for you? And so I want to talk about briefly your calling in God's glory. I think we sometimes are under the impression that when God calls us to stuff, it's only going to be like, do you think that God only calls people into full-time ministry or into missions and that that's the only kind of callings that people can get? Because I want for you to know that that's simply not the case, because here's the thing. If everybody made widgets, who's buying the widgets, right? I know that was a stupid illustration, but do you get the point of what I'm saying there? 1 Corinthians tells us, so brothers, in whatever condition each was called, there let him remain with God. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him or to her, and to which God has called him or to her. This is my rule in all the churches. And so the first thing is, you were called to work, not necessarily a specific career field or a specific position. Because again, I hope you're not like me in this regard. I have had a lot of jobs in my day, okay? Unfortunately, before I was saved, I was not a very dependable worker, okay? And so I either got fired or I quit an awful lot. However, it does not change that we are called to work, but you may be in different seasons of your life called to different kinds of work, or even maybe different careers. Outside of that, I mean, some people will go from one career field to a completely other career field. And that's okay. Sometimes people will have to leave a job and find a different job even within the same career field, and that too is okay. So long as we understand that we are to go where it is that God is calling us. So you are called to work, and that might be in various places. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And so you say to me, Pastor, are you telling me that God has called me to be a tire mechanic, or to change tires, or to change oil? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, I'm saying that. Because you have a unique proclivity to be able to do that and understand that in a way that others do not have. I would like to believe that at the time my kids leave my house, I have trained all of them how to change a tire by the side of the road, okay? I think that they should just know that, because I think everybody should know that. In fact, why don't we have a class? If anybody doesn't know how to change a tire by the side of the road, why don't we have a class, okay? I can teach you that. Maybe somebody else here could teach you that. Find a partner and change a tire today, this afternoon, maybe. Well, okay, but what I'm talking about here is, listen, your vocation, which comes from the Latin voker, which means to call, your vocation is for every Christian. You are going to be called uniquely to whatever your career path is. And if you don't believe that, then I would say that maybe, just maybe, you might be doubting God's sovereignty just a little bit. Because whatever you are doing is what God has called you to. You know how I know that? Because that's what you're doing. And I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that God works every single one of these puzzle pieces together in all of our lives so that He can bring us to the right place at each period of time over the entirety of our lives. And so whatever you find yourself doing on Monday, that work is from God and is what you are called to at this season of life right now. So you don't have to work. So young people, if you're here and you're listening to this and you're thinking, what is God calling me to? I'm so worried that I'm not going to follow God's calling. I'm just anxious all the time because I'm not sure what God is calling me to. Calm down, okay? Pray. Seek the opportunities that God is bringing before you. Ask other people who are older and who are wiser and who know you to help you discern what it is that you might be called into. And then guess what? Go to work and find out if that's what God has called you to. I found out very quickly, you know, that God didn't call me to certain things, and He called me to something else. I believe that in God's grace and in His mercy, that when you do the same thing, God will give you wisdom, He will give you clarity, He will close or He will open doors, and He will move you where it is you're supposed to be. The second part about this is, you're not expected to do this alone. So not only are you called to work, but you're also, and I hope this is good news for you, you are empowered to do these works, okay? God's Spirit that He gives to you, by the way, is not so small and so refined as to like, well, okay, God's Spirit is working through me. I pray and I hope God's Spirit is working through me as I'm delivering God's word to you. And we would probably all say, yeah, I believe that because you're preaching. Okay. Do you believe that God's Spirit can also work through you as you answer phones for difficult clients? or as you work in the lunchroom, making a big pot of sloppy joes for all those kids, right? Or as you clean toilets in the local area that you're called to for janitorial work. Like, do you think that God's Spirit is so finite and focused on just a single task that His Spirit can't or won't be with you in your career path and in what God is calling you to do? You need a bigger God. I can tell you 100% God's Spirit works through Elisa as a stay-at-home mom. By the way, I think her job is way more important than mine. And so understand that you are not alone. God has given you unique gifts. He's given you a unique personality. Remember the puzzle piece I'm talking about? God has given you a unique puzzle that fits together so that when you're in your position for that season of life, it is not only changing you for the next season of life, so you'll be adequately prepared for that, but everything before that has adequately prepared you for the season of life you're in currently, and if you allow His Spirit to work through that, it can be a beautiful picture and not just a puzzle. Romans 12, 6 through 8 tells us, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in propitiation, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. To the one who teaches, in their teaching. To the one who exhorts, in their exhortation. To the one who contributes, in generosity. To the one who leads, with zeal. To the one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Those are overarching categories, but you can put those in your career field as well. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 says, there are varied gifts, but there's the same Spirit. Philippians 2, 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. We need to understand that God doesn't call the equipped. God equips the called. So, I want you to finally remember that it isn't just about serving the work week or surviving the work week. It's really all about living on mission. Because here's the bottom line. I would love to go and work at your job for a little while. Do you know why? It would give me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people I'm never going to see. So you need to cherish your job. Cherish your work. Understand that you are sent into the world. That by God's wisdom and His grace and His love, that not everybody's called to full-time missions or full-time pastoring. That we do have people that are called to being nurses and mechanics and janitors and farmers and laundry workers and stay-at-home moms or even stay-at-home dads sometimes or all kinds of different things. That there are callings on your life, sometimes permanent, sometimes seasonal, that God is using you for His glory, for His kingdom, for His witness. John 17, 18 says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So you need to understand that your workplace is not separate from your ministry. Your workplace is your ministry. That your coworkers, your clients, your students, your patients, they are your mission field. God created work. Sin corrupted it. Jesus redeems it. So whatever your job, it's not meaningless. It might be mundane, but it's not meaningless. And you were made for more than a paycheck. You were made to glorify God. So I want to ask you, will you view your job as a sacred calling? Will you choose to work with integrity and joy? Will you be a light in your workplace? I don't know if you've heard it, but there's this saying on TikTok or social media or whatever, it's this term called quiet quitting. Are you familiar with that? Has anyone heard quiet quitting? My understanding of quiet quitting is you don't like the way things are going at work, so you're just going to basically quit without telling anybody. You're just going to do the bare minimum. And I'm here to tell you, eventually it's going to be for sure fired, because eventually they're going to find out and then that's what's going to happen. So I wouldn't recommend that. But in a world that is advertising, because work is hard and sometimes unpleasant, we should be about quiet quitting. I want to challenge you for us to practice Christ-centered, worship-filled work. So I hope you'll join me in seeking to do that. Let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, I thank you for creating work for us. I thank you for empowering us and equipping us for the positions that we hold, for the seasons in which we hold them in, that we can trust you, that you are a good God who has our best, even when the job is hard or when there is thorns or thistles that we have to work through, that you will one day make all paths straight, you will make all things clear, and that we will look back and we will rejoice at even the roads that were difficult. And so help us, Lord, to work not for our paychecks and not for our bosses or managers, but that we would do our work for you, in your name, for your glory, for your kingdom. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So,